haste, O God, to deliver me. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked,
nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
And on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither.
In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment,
nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Micah chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear your mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgad, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. Which, what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We continue with the gradual. Praise the Lord, all nations.
Extol him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name.
Bring our offering and come into his courts.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At first glance, our gospel text for this morning seems like quite an odd one to choose for the fourth Sunday of the Epiphany season. As we discussed, Epiphany is a season dedicated to the manifestation of Christ in the flesh, to the revelation of God incarnate. So why should we meditate on the Beatitudes this morning, on Christ's pronouncement of blessing upon his disciples? Well, if it were me, I would not have chosen this text for this week, but that is why I'm not on the lectionary committee, because on second glance, it actually is quite fitting. The first reason that we might see is that Christ now ascends upon a mountain. He is cutting the figure of Moses on Mount Sinai, revealing by his actions that he is the prophet prophesied by Moses. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Jesus brings the word of God, and it is to him that all people should listen. However, unlike Moses, he does not receive a revelation from God to deliver unto Israel. No, instead, he speaks his own words. He teaches as one with authority, not an authority given to him by another, not a derivative authority, like a judge who pronounces a judgment based on the authority given to him by the state, or a pastor who preaches based on the authority given to him by the word of God, or even like the prophets in the ages past. He speaks with his own authority. He does not have to say, hear the word of God, or thus says the Lord, for he himself is the word of God and the Lord of all. He speaks and teaches with authority that belongs to him by right, by virtue of his divine being. He does not speak the word of another, but his own word, as the eternal divine Son of the Father, by whom and through whom all things were made. His word is the very word of God, who in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was light. His word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit. His word of command calms the waves and stills the storm. His cry raises the dead. Unlike our words, which always point to a reality outside of themselves, his word brings reality into existence. It is a performative word. And so it is in his teaching, in the way in which he speaks, Christ reveals himself, makes himself manifest as one unlike any human teacher. He reveals that he is the Word incarnate. But the Beatitudes make Christ manifest in another way, or at least they point to another way in which he is made manifest, namely through the lives of his saints, of his Christians. Just three verses after our gospel text for this morning, Christ says, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." In you, that performative word of Jesus is manifested by his union with you. In the waters of holy baptism connected with the word of God, we know that we were buried with him into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This does not mean that we do not still struggle with the sin that remains in our flesh, but it does mean that we struggle. We are not enslaved to it, but instead we are at war with our sinful nature in the sure confidence of our victory, that the judge's verdict is that you are innocent for Christ's sake. That performative word of Jesus that declares you righteous is not a legal fiction. Indeed, it is a legal verdict. When on the last day you stand before the throne of heaven, you know for certain that the Father will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." But that word of Jesus that declares you righteous also, here in time, begins to make you righteous. Through his word connected with the waters of holy baptism, through his word proclaimed from the pulpit, through his word along with his body and blood given to you in the supper, all of these things, through them, Christ makes his home in you. He abides in you. Your bodies are members of Christ's own body. Your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the triune God himself graciously dwells in you, sanctifying you with his word and sacraments. This is why Paul proclaims, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." You are the light of the world, not because of your own righteousness, but because the true light who has come into the world, who abides in you, now shines through you. His love for you, which abides in you, moves you to love your neighbor and to struggle against sin. Indeed, you are Christians, meaning little Christs. In your love, worked by the grace of God, God incarnate is made manifest in you. And it is all to the glory of the Father. Now, in light of the identity of Jesus as the Word of God incarnate, who is in mystical union with us and dwells in us through word and sacrament, let us now turn to the Beatitudes and recall first what I said on All Saints' Day, that here Christ speaks first about himself and secondarily about his disciples. It is our Lord who became poor in spirit in order to earn the kingdom of heaven for us. It is our Lord who mourned for those who he loved but who hated him and is now comforted at the Father's right hand. He is the meek one who inherits the earth and the peacemaker who brings peace. He is the one reviled and persecuted. But because of his intimate union with you, what is said of him is said of you. And what is true for him is also true for you. And so it is when Christ preaches the Beatitudes, he is not laying down a series of laws for us to obey in order to be blessed, but on the contrary, he is pronouncing blessing upon us for who we are in him. Yes, we still struggle with sin, but that is not who we are. It is not our identity. As St. Paul says, it is no longer I who sin, but sin that dwells within me. Which is why we continually cry out with St. Paul, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus our Lord." And so Jesus has gathered his disciples, gathered them with his word, and he preaches to them. He proclaims who they are in him, and he points to the way in which he is manifested through them, the way in which the true light shines through them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? They are Christians who manifest Jesus by confessing their sins and crying out to God for mercy. They are like that tax collector, standing far off, not even daring to approach the temple, who would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but prayed, beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." They are those who recognize that before the law of God, they are found wanting, and their only hope is forgiveness and mercy. They recognize that they were dead in the trespasses and sins in which they once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So they turn to Christ, whose death atones for their sins, and they rely on him alone, not on the riches of their own spirit, on their own strength of virtue, or on their own bounteous works. It is the poor in spirit who cry, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," who manifest Jesus. In this Christ is manifest, his work on the cross is exalted, the incarnate God is glorified. Indeed, God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved you, even when you were dead in your trespasses, made you alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Hear again the words of the Apostle Paul, so that no one may boast. If we boast in our own works, we steal the glory that belongs to Christ alone. But if we are poor in spirit, we boast in him. He is glorified. The light shines through us, and yes, the kingdom of heaven is ours by grace. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Who are these blessed ones who mourn and receive comfort? They are Christians, who manifest Jesus by their mourning over sin and death, who confess by their mourning that we live in an evil age and are in need of a Savior, who confess by their mourning over death that death is not natural to man. Death is not merely a part of the cycle of life, but an evil tyrant that must be overthrown, that sin is a wicked power that must be overcome. They are comforted. We are comforted by the appearance of the Son of God in the flesh, who being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And so too we make Jesus manifest by considering ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. For they do not seek the glory of the world, or the honor of the world, or count the blessings of the world as the highest good. For they testify that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already manifest. And the world and all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life are passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God, which is to believe in the name of his Son, abides forever. They know that the Father, who would not even hold back his Son from us, would not hesitate to give us all things. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. For they reveal that God is righteous, that true righteousness only comes as a gift from him. You hunger and thirst for water, because you need something outside of yourself to sustain you. You do not have the power of life within you. And so it is with righteousness. It must be given as a gift from God and received as a gift by faith. And so the light of Christ shines through them who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they are not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. They give all glory to Christ, because he alone is righteous. And he gives that righteousness as a gift to us. He satisfies your hunger, and he slakes your thirst with his own righteous body and his own righteous blood. And so he is manifested to the world by Christians who eagerly wait and attend the Lord's Supper. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. For in your mercy to those who sin against you, the mercy of Christ is shining through you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. For when you are enduring persecution and suffering for Christ's sake, you manifest that the blessings you have in Christ are greater than anything else that you have in the world, and that nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You confess that God's verdict is more important than man's verdict. You confess that Christ is Lord, not angels, nor demons, nor death. You confess that your rewards in heaven from his hands are more valuable than any other possession. Blessed are you, saints of Zion, for Christ has given you all things. He pronounces it to you with his almighty and blessed word. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Comfort, satisfaction, the new heavens and the new earth, the beatific vision, mercy. It is all yours in Christ Jesus. So go forth. Let your light shine. For you are the light of the world, because Christ shines through you. Let your faith and work shine to the glory of God your Father, even when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on Christ's account. For your reward is great in heaven. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.
Please rise for the prayer. Almighty Lord and Judge of all, do not contend against us, for although your indictment of our sinfulness is true, your Son has suffered our condemnation. Hear him as he pleads for our pardon, and for his sake forgive us our sins, and preserve us as your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all wisdom, you tell us plainly that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but it is your power to all who are being saved. Strengthen the faith of pastors, such as the Reverend David, and congregations, that they would not turn to man-made wisdom, but boldly proclaim Christ and him crucified. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all glory, make us meek before you. Remove our stubborn inclination to follow our sinful desires, and strengthen us gladly to submit your holy will as we await the day of the new heavens and earth. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have given your firstborn for our transgressions. Strengthen all parents and guardians, that the children in their care might not be trained in the transgressions of their forebears. But rejoice in your ways, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord of lords, you rescued your people from Egypt and confounded Balak, king of Moab, for their protection. Guide the decisions and actions of all earthly authority, that your people may live in peace and quietness, and defend those who defend us, such as Sean, Austin, and Thomas. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all truth, bless those who are reviled and slandered because of Jesus. Strengthen them with grace, provide for all their needs of body and soul, and maintain in them the joy and gladness that in Christ their reward in heaven is great. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you choose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. You use our infirmities for our good. Hear our prayers on behalf of all who are afflicted, especially Harold, Esther, Prabhu, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, Patricia, and Ellen. Deliver them according to your will, and make use of their trials to increase their confidence in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, teach us to hunger for your flesh and to thirst for your blood, that by your holy communion we may be cleansed of our sin and equipped to love you above all and love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, receive our thanks for the saints whom you preserved in righteousness and delivered to glory. Purify our hearts by your grace and strengthen us against temptation, that we would look joyfully to the day when we will see you in your glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Trusting in it. Trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
First, I'd like to let everyone know that Esther Schweier is back from the hospital, but she has been moved into hospice care at her home. She certainly appreciates if anyone would like to come visit her and spend some time and sit next to her. You can contact her daughter, Christine. Her number is here in the bulletin if you would wish to do that. I know it's not news to many of you. She's such a dear saint. I think the news has already gotten around, but she's being well cared for by Christine and Wanda in these difficult times. The Endowment Committee, if you are on that, do not forget that you are meeting today after the service in the Sunday School rooms to elect new officers. Also, the Ladies' Aid, from all the delicious meals that they keep preparing for us, is running low on plastic containers for taking the leftovers home. So if you have plastic containers, don't throw them away. Bring them to us so the Ladies' Aid can have them to distribute the bounty of food that is left over after meals. And then the time for registration for the Higher Things Youth Gathering is coming up. So please, if you are interested in that, let me know, because we need to start getting that organized so we can get registered for that if we are going to go. And there are funds to pay for any youth that wish to attend that. So please let me know about that. Okay, any announcements that I have missed? No, depart in peace.